Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
And her voice came through the record player, and I was like, fuck, this is like the most amazing voice. And the song as well, was just like, I immediately like listened to the whole record, like start to finish, flipped it, put it straight back on again.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Accolades Conversation Series, in which I talk to some of my favorite artists about who or what they would recommend me checking out. Make sure to subscribe to our channel or hit the like button. This episode is in collaboration with Sonic City Festival, a 3-day curated festival in Kortrijk, Belgium, from the 11th to the 13th of November, organized by Wilde Westen. This year's edition is curated by Low, Black Country New Road, and Gilla Band. Some other bands already added to the lineup are Goats, Dry Cleaning, and Coco. Check out the full lineup on soniccity.be. The band Crows formed in 2015 and have since built a considerable following for the intensity of their live shows, which have seen the band members break bones as well as instruments. I spoke to frontman James Cox from Crows about Patsy Cline, an American singer. She is considered one of the most influential vocalists of the 20th century and was one of the first country music artists to cross over into pop music. Cline had several major hits during her 8-year recording career, including 2 number 1 hits on the Billboard Hot Country and Western Sites chart. If you are into my illustrations, this Accolade series started as an illustration book, which you can still get on our website, craterecords.be. This is what James had to add.
I was finding it quite difficult to choose who I was going to talk about. And then I watched a few of the other episodes, and I was like, okay, so it's people... I wanted it to be something quite personal because everyone else was kind of talking about someone who really meant something to them rather than like, say, just someone they liked that they didn't think got enough props or whatever in modern times. And so I was thinking, I was like, all right. And I know you run a record store as well. So I was like, all right, can I relate to something to do with records and like an early memory of me getting records and everything? And I thought the perfect person that came to mind was this woman called Patsy Cline, who's an old country western artist. And the reason I chose her is because I remember me and Steve, the guitar player in Crows, living in a really shit flat in Kilburn in northwest London. We were very young, like no central heating, very, very, we were very poor, very shit, like right in the early stages of Crows. We were going to have a party one night and we didn't have any chairs in the house. We had like maybe 2 chairs. We were like, fuck, there's loads of people coming around. We should maybe go get some more chairs. So I went to this like furniture shop, like secondhand furniture shop to try and find these like chairs for this party. And in there was a really beautiful old, like all-in-one record player. The guy he obviously didn't know what it was. He like didn't know its worth or its value or anything. And I was just like, how much is that? He was like, I don't care. I don't want it. You can have it for like 40 quid. And I was like, yes. Like, so bought it because I didn't have a record player. So bought this record player, really beautiful, really amazing. And didn't have any records because I fucking couldn't afford records at the time. So took it home. I was like, look what I've bought. He's like, you don't have any records. I was like, fuck yeah, I need to go get some records. And in London, like the charity shops like in London are amazing. There's always a fucking huge amount of old records in there. So we went to the one next to the house and I was just flicked all these records. I was like, fuck, I don't want to buy. And they're all like really cheap, like £1, £2. So I just picked a handful, but one I picked just off the cover alone was this Patsy Cline record. Just it's just like a shot of her looking like really like stoic and like just says like Patsy Cline. And I was like, fuck, it's got like, I like country music. This has got to be good. I've never heard of it before. So I bought it purely off the cover. And I remember putting it on and the first track's Walking After Midnight. And just her voice coming through this record player. It's like the first time I've really like properly listened to records, probably since I was like younger, listening to with my parents or whatever. And her voice came through the record player and I was like, fuck, this is like the most amazing voice. And the song as well, I was just like, I immediately like listened to the whole record, like start to finish, flipped it, put it straight back on again. And it was just like, I think I was just doing stuff around the house, but I think I listened to the record about 3 or 4 times in a row because I was so blown away by her voice and like just how much she filled my head with this like powerful, beautiful music. Yeah, so I thought I'd just talk a bit about her because it's such a strong memory in my brain. I still remember bringing it home, bringing a record player home, going straight out, buying records and putting it on. And
well, like in the beginning when records started existing, it's because of like selling them with the furniture.
That's how I never thought about that actually. Yeah. Again, she was signed. She signed to this, I think it was like Four Star Records that she signed to, which at the time, obviously, like record deals were pretty poor. And I think she was getting maybe something like 2.4% of the royalties of the record, and which I think is pretty standard at the time. But especially if you're a woman, she had a pretty rough ride with all of that. So like Walking After Midnight is an amazing track. Crazy is an amazing track. All her like big songs. I think she had quite a fair few flops and a fair few tracks that didn't make it. But like she had and especially for the time as a woman playing country music at the time, which was such a heavily male dominated area. There's a really funny video of her on YouTube of her playing the Grand Ole Opry. She got reprimanded because she turned up wearing trousers. And like at the time it was like, if you were a woman and you went on TV in not in a dress or not dressed up, it was like really controversial. So she was always kind of that figure who would turn up and be so strong and powerful and that was so, just wanted to be a professional musician, but in such a male dominated world. Yeah, she's really quite inspirational for that. And that's another reason I wanted to, obviously now, and like she got inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame and like, probably because she died quite young, so I think she got a lot of accolades maybe after she died, but I feel, you know, it's probably been lost a bit over time.
It's a name that rings a bell, but I never checked out before, so now I'm at least going to do that. So
you really should. Another interesting thing is like, because it was kind of when rock and roll was taking off, so like Elvis and Little Richard were topping like the charts and they were like starting to take over, and country music was kind of, the audience was kind of dying for a bit. So what they were trying to do is the country music labels were trying to figure out where to find a new audience to sell records. So they chose like the people who lived in pop music. So she started to bridge country music and pop music together. And that blend just is beautiful. And her voice is so perfect for it. It's so powerful and strong. You're instantly captured. The kind of influence of pop made it not so... Like it was like, if it's like, oh, it's country music, I'm not going to listen to it. But if it's pop music, I might listen to it. She kind of blended the two and kind of kept the whole business going.
Like, I don't know why that is, but a lot of people do have like the thing, like when it comes to pure country, I want to stay away from that or something.
Yeah, it is interesting. And then there's a lot of like alternative music that is quite country-esque, but yeah. People will happily listen to that. But then... will like turn their nose up at say Taylor Swift or like any of the big current pop artists.
In the last 2 years, like I was never a fan of country music except for like maybe like if you count Johnny Cash or whatever to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the last couple of years, I got into this dude called Charlie Crockett. You know about him?
Ooh, I love Charlie Crockett. I'm a massive Charlie Crockett fan, and he's like bringing it back. It's like they're all like,
yeah, but just lyric-wise and everything is just fucking perfect, and it's like
that,
it makes me like review. If I have like the wrong opinion about what country is,
my dad's a big country fan, so I grew up listening to like Gillian Welch, Eliza Gilkison, all these like amazing country like Americana artists. And like I'm from a small town in Wales. Well, he opened up an arts center, like a community center in my village, and he would just reach out to these touring American artists who maybe had a date to fill on tour. He'd be like, "Look, there's this really small venue in mid Wales, in the middle of nowhere. It will sell out because everyone wants to come see live music. You'll get put up in a nice place, like nice house." Like he'd always let them stay at our house and he'd like cook them a home cooked meal. And it's in a really beautiful part of the country that they would probably never visit again. So it was quite an easy sell to someone who needed to fill a space on a tour. So I grew up seeing all these amazing artists in this really small venue in my town that, I mean, and it's just because my dad was so obsessed with country music and Americana. So for me, it's really nostalgic. And, I've just grown up listening to that, all that kind of music, and I love it. So,
what kind of other artists could you name that like are like go-to country artists for you? I got a couple of recommendations out of. Did you ever see Tales of the Tour Bus?
I've seen a couple of episodes. Yeah.
I got into like Blaze Foley and shit like that because of you know, like which I love also for like the ridiculous lyrics and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, well, I love Blaze Foley, and again, very tragic ending. Like he died in like an argument about land or something, got shot by his brother-in-law or his dad or something like that. Mm-hmm. I love Blaze Foley. The warmth of the soundings of his recordings. There's one album that's really close. That's Sin by the Road. I can't remember, but that album I'm a massive fan of, and that's like a very like.
Oh, that's the one with a big drawing of himself.
Yeah, like the painting of him on the front. It's like if there's ever like a time where I'm feeling a bit sad, or even if I'm feeling like really happy, and I just want to kind of listen to the really calming music, I'll always put that album on. I fucking love that album. As far as current artists go. Gillian Welch is, again, one of my most all-time favorite artists. Her and Dave Rawlings, her husband, make such beautiful, amazing moving music. There's an album called Revelations, her album called Revelations, which is one of my all-time favorite records. And it's her voice and her songwriting ability. She's got like a seven... at the end, I think it's that album. There's an end of that album. There's a track called I Dreamed a Highway. And it's about 8 minutes long. It's almost the same thing the whole way through, but it just feels like a 2 minute song. The way she, it's like it's a real storytelling song, and I think that's why I love those kind of artists best, is because of that storytelling in music. And I love storytelling music because there's people who write like character writing. It's like Nick Cave's an amazing character like writing artist. He can like paint you a whole picture in a song, being backed up if you can do that, but just you and a guitar, and still keep people interested. I think that's such a difficult thing to do. So, yeah, Gillian Welch, absolutely incredible artist. She's one of my favorites.
Good to get another recommendation.
Yeah, there you go.
No, but it's stuff like I think maybe with getting older or whatever, it's something that I start to like get into more and more. It's you always thought like country was about like stuff that you don't care about or don't want to know about.
Yeah. That's the kind of, or hard to relate to, because most of them are from like the southern America, which like I'm from Wales, you're from Belgium. It's like you couldn't get further away from.
It's also the cliches of like, you know, like a cowboy hat and, you know, like that kind of stuff, and like in a weird way and shit like that. You know, that's what I like immediately where my brain goes to when I think.
Yeah. But he does it. He is that. That's what Charlie Kirk does. But he does it incredibly well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of his songs are his originals. It's standard country songs. They're the same three, four chords that have been used on every country song. Probably same melody on some of them, but he's just managed to find a way to make them his own. And I guess that's it. I mean, the same with all music. Like punk music's the same four chords over and over again. It's just the way you do it and your own spin that you put on it makes it unique to you. And but it's good because he does quite a lot of classic covers, like standard covers, and like does them really well, and he makes them completely his own. Yeah. What's that track?
The record that I got into him, and his new record just came out like a week ago or something, or 2 weeks ago.
I still haven't listened to his new one, but
he made like 10 albums in like 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
I think his my go-to record from him is Welcome to Hard Times. I don't know.
Yeah, that was the one that got me into it, and because that's I think it's a Willie Nelson song. Blackjack County. No, it's the one about the chain. He's got like a. It's like a chain gang. Fuck, was it? Give me a second.
Blackjack County Chain is probably.
Blackjack County Chain. Yes, that's the one. Yeah. And it's quite funny because Patsy Cline, one of her most famous songs is a Willie Nelson song.
I want to thank James from Crows for this conversation. Next week, I'm going to be talking to another Sonic City act, Francesca Brilli, aka Hekka, and I'm talking to her about her love for composer Philip Glass. Thanks for listening.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota #4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.